Let's go to Acts
chapter 8.
Yeah. Acts 8, starting at verse 5. Oh, wait a minute. Let's just for a minute talk. Remember, Acts 7 is Stephen's defense before the Sanhedrin. And then, of course, he was stoned. And that's when all kinds of persecution happened after that to the church. But let's start in chapter 8, verse 1. And Saul, remember Paul was, you understand why Saul and Paul, if you listen to these churches, they say, well, God changed his name. No, he didn't. Paul was a Roman citizen, and his name in the Roman Empire was Paul, and his name in Judea was Saul. But a lot of people that were members of or living in other parts of the Roman Empire, and they had two names, one for the Gentile name and one for the Hebrew name. Okay? So, and Saul was consenting unto his death. It was still, now he's the Hebrew name here. And he was the prosecuting attorney in, before the Sanhedrin. Well, let's go. We got to go up earlier. Let's go to. Let's just start verse 54. No, we can't. We got to go earlier. I'm sorry. Let's start in 47. But and this is Stephen's presenting his case before the Sanhedrin. But Solomon built him a house or a temple. However, the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands, as saith the prophet. Heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool. What house or what temple will you build me, saith the Lord? Or what is the place of my rest? Hath not my hand made all these things? You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them, which showed before of the coming of the Just One, of whom you have been now the betrayer and the murderers. He didn't hold back much here.
He didn't hold back. He cut loose on these three people right here.
Who have received the law by disposition of angels and have not kept it. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly unto heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. And he said, behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes as a young man at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep, or he died. So anyway, that's the starting point of all kinds of persecution in the church. And this was just not many months after the crucifixion. What?
There's this transition from synagogue to church.
Both mean the same. It's both just a gathering of people.
But the focus had changed from Torah to now they're preaching Christ. So that changes a little bit, see.
But they changed. They also preached the Torah because it revealed Christ.
Yeah, then they would have a different take on the Torah.
Because they didn't have the New Testament then. Nobody, there was no...
The Testament was being formed. That was the New Testament was being lived out.
Yeah, but it didn't come in. There wasn't any letters that were collated as a document.
Right.
Until probably 90.
Yeah.
Whatever that would have been, 90 A.D.,
I guess the difference I'm looking at is before Christ, they looked at the Torah exclusively. After Christ, they went from synagogue word to church word. Church meaning now they're looking at the Torah and seeing Jesus. Whereas the Jews, of course, a lot of them still didn't. But I'm trying to get the distinction between what the church is compared to what the synagogue was. And even though, yes, it's a gathering of people, but there's a different focus here in what they're looking at and why are they fighting? Why are they kicking and screaming and gnawing and gnashing? There's something terrible.
Because he said, you are the ones that murdered him, and you are the ones that, you know, he was using the Old Testament to show their evilness.
Yeah.
They killed the prophets, they, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
But it's not a different... It's not a different gospel, is my point. The only Bible, quote-unquote, they had during this period of time was the Torah. And they didn't have anything else until they... People started receiving the letters, and then slowly but surely they began copying them, and then they began all kinds of other letters that were spurious. And so it wasn't until well after Constantine that a Bible was
Yeah, but this time period is not about a New Testament in writing. This is the New Testament in their lives, that it's being lived out, and then later on it's written and recorded, here's what they did. So this isn't about the Bible, this is about what it took to create it, and this fight, and this biting, and this calling them out, and all that stuff. That's
But it's the thing that is, the point that I'm making is, it's nothing different than Cain slewing Abel. It's nothing different than Jeremiah preaching to the church, or it's not any different than Isaiah.
But the difference is Jesus Christ.
But he is the same. He's always there. He's always been there.
The Jews did not accept him as the Messiah. They waited for the Messiah who came. And they said, no, it wasn't him. So there's something here that is significant.
No, we've had this discussion many times. So let's look at... All it was necessary at any point in the history of the Jewish people and all the people before that was the revelation of Christ. And that revelation of Christ was revealed in the minutest detail in the Torah. I mean, there was more revelation of Christ in the Torah than there is in the New Testament, because it's longer.
Because the Torah and Christ are the same things.
Hmm?
He is the fulfillment of the Torah.
Right, but the gospel didn't change when Christ came on the scene. It was the same gospel that Abel believed, that Isaiah believed, that David believed, that all the ones that made it believed. So the only distinction I'm making is that there's nothing that changed with regard to what was needed for salvation. And the ones that saw that were as much a part of the church as you and I are, as that Paul was. And that's the only distinction I make.
Yeah, and I don't contest that. That's not my...
Well, I thought that was your point, that there was a difference.
Well, there is a difference to me in that the embodiment of the Messiah in Jesus Christ has to mean something. And when we argue about it, you seem to say it doesn't mean anything, and I say it does, but it's almost like our words are betraying the point. The point is, the coming of Christ had some massive significance in the beginning of the church itself. And so the synagogue was a means of gathering to study the law, which was Christ. But after the coming of Christ, the focus changed from seeing Christ in the law, and it's Jesus Christ, who the Jews rejected, and vehemently rejected. They were mad as hell.
All I'm saying to you is that they were mad as hell when Jeremiah preached it. They were mad as hell when Abel preached it. They were mad as hell when that nothing has changed. Whether you read Jeremiah or Ezekiel or Haggai or any of them, there is for me, when I look at it, there's as much revelation of Christ in those as there is or more in maybe.
Yeah, I've seen that many times. That's true.
So I think it's dangerous from the standpoint of the economy of God to think it's different now than it was then. That's all I'm saying, and that's all I ever said. Because then you start doing what they say, and the reason that modern Christianity doesn't study the Torah is because that was when God was mad. Now he loves everybody. No, he doesn't. So, I mean, my point, and again, I don't want to belabor this, but we seem to have to belabor it every few months or something. But anyway.
All right.
So we're verse 14. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place, and shall change the customs which Moses delivered us, or change the rules, or the...
Where are you?
Now we're in verse 14. We're about to...
Chapter 8.
No. We're looking at 8. I mean 7. Because it's Stephen's defense. So I'm sorry, I was in the wrong place.
Okay.
Well, in verse 60 of chapter 8, and he kneeled down, Stephen, and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he died. And Saul was consenting unto the death, And at the time, that time, there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea, Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentations over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hauling men and women committed, and women committed them to prison. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. So again, the persecution of the church in Israel became the means of the gospel being preached elsewhere, which is very interesting to me because, anyway, now we're coming to Philip in verse 5. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one, this is because he's fleeing Jerusalem, I mean, Philip was one of the many that left Israel, so now he's in Samaria. Verse 6, and the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, come out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies and were lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. But there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was the great one, was some great one, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. And to him they had regard, because that of long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. But when they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God, in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon himself believed also. Now, that's the guy, the sorcerer. And Simon himself believed also. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of Jesus, of the Lord Jesus. Then laid they hands on them, they meaning Peter and John. Then they laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. And when Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, give me also this power, that on whosoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. But Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. But to Philip and all the Samaritans, now he had converted. That's what we have to see, remember?
Right, yeah, so he was, in their mind,
he was a Christian. And verse 22, repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness, and in the bond of iniquity. Then answered Simon and said, pray ye to the Lord for me, that none of these things which thou hast spoken come upon me. And when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, returned to Jerusalem and preached the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. Now, why are we studying that? Is there any difference between Simon, who believes he's a Christian, he's accepted Jesus as his personal Savior, and then comes along another aspect of it, laying out of hands, and he offered them money? Is there any difference between that and what the prosperity gospels are preaching?
It seems awfully similar.
Hmm?
It seems very similar. I don't know if people are offering money, but it does seem.
Well, it's the same idea, though. You have to pay money to get stuff from God.
Yeah, same.
Now, can we see how evil that is?
Yeah. Yeah. And how Peter said, he spoke directly to it. You know, your heart's not right. You're gonna die in your own evil, with your own evil heart.
Well, that's why we're looking at this, because as long as you back again, let's go to Revelation chapter something, 2 or 3, something like that. Let's go to chapter 2, verse 12. Unto the angel, he's not talking about angels as we know it. Each leader of a church, or for that matter, a synagogue, was called an angel, because angel here just means messenger. So, believe it or not, in that context, I would be called an angel, but if anybody says that, I will throw up.
I haven't heard that much.
Yeah, I don't think so. You didn't have to say that.
I know.
You did, and that was sick.
I was helping you with
God. You were helping me, okay.
Thank you.
And verse 12, and to the church, angel of the church in Pergamos write, these things saith he which hath the sharp sword with two edges. I know thy works, and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. And thou holdest fast my name, and hast not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you where Satan dwelleth. But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. So hast thou also that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which things I hate. Repent, or I will come unto thee quickly, and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. Now, in each case where he's talking about where Satan's seat is in the church, it's those that are still using their mind. Because, as we know, Satan has been defeated. So they're still using their mind, so they're still operating where Satan's seat is. And the two things, here it gives a greater definition, or bigger definition, of the doctrine of Balaam than it does in verse Anyway, the doctrine of Balaam is preaching, or how can I say this? I've said it many times in different ways, but the doctrine of Balaam is essentially mixing religion and the world, or especially politics. And you do that for gain of stature, gain of, and if you just look at all these so-called Christians, or the, you know, the Paula White, and all the people we investigated are now Trump's advisory board. And it's the doctrine of Balaam, personified. Mixing.
What's the meaning, though, here, eating things sacrificed unto idols?
Well, where you get sustenance from the same thing that the world gives sustenance to. Then you're eating the same thing that the world eats.
Yeah, it's not physical food. It's ideas and thoughts.
Right, it's your whole...
plans and programs and...
But if you don't believe that your mind is Satan's seat, then you'll continue, the whole world is continuing using their mind and putting God's name on it. You can't do that. And then the doctrine of Nicolaitans, if you look up Nicolaitans, there's 16 different definitions, none of them which I preach, but they're all trying to figure out where this town was of the Nicolaitans. And there wasn't one. Nicolaitans are those that believe in Nico, and Nico is success in the name of God. So that's what the word Nike or Nike, that's why the word for this, what is it, the tennis shoes are Nikes. But that, in English, that's Nico. It means just success. And if you have the doctrine of Balaam, you're mixing politics, and the doctrine of Nicolaitans, you're preaching success in the name of God. How to get, and if you listen to Copeland, that's all he does. And he,
this is a bit of,
huh?
Go ahead.
Well, I was just saying that our friend in Houston, he does it, but he's ignorant of the issue. But I don't think Copeland should be ignorant of it. But anyway, go ahead.
Well, I'm just thinking a little abstract here. Saint Nicholas, who teaches kids to be good so they can get good things. You know, it's kind of,
that's good.
That is quite similar.
Yeah, same thing with adults. So. If you're good,
I never saw
it. Any name that starts as Nico in it,
yeah,
is the same as the doctrine of the Nicolaitans.
Yeah.
Those that preach success in the name of God. And intellectually, we all do.
Which subconsciously goes against grace. Got to be good or it's not going to happen.
Well, it also goes against the abandonment of self. Mm-hmm. Your death at Baptist, your burial at Baptist. It's not pretty 30 minutes. Hmm. Anyway, that's a good place to. I just wanted to tie in what Simon, the Christian, as a Christian did, is the same thing that many people do. You get stuff. If you get money, or you get success, or you get blah, 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 if you believe in this. No, you get dead if you believe in this.
Right.
All right, take it, big guy. Anything else? Take it, big guy, again.